Hi, this is Veronica Entwistle. You've tuned into Radiance by Design, which you're learning to do, and so am I. And I gather that tuning our radiance is an infinite process. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I know all kinds of people on the other side. So do you. Are you in cahoots with them? Sometimes I am. And I'm learning so much about vibrating and radiating according to our thoughts and feelings. I have a show which a lot of you know about, which is called Paradigm Shifters. Excuse me, please. I must be doing some clearing of my deep karmic hoo-ha. What do you think of that? That's what happens when your throat gets all gooey, because your throat is where you synthesize wisdom out of all of these experiences. So excuse my cough, but we know it's leading me to a much more radiant place. So anyway, what on earth was I going to tell you about? I have a show called Paradigm Shifters, which I enjoy so much. I get jealous of myself because books come in the mail, and boy, oh boy, I get glimpses and hits and experiences with some people that are making huge changes on the planet. I like to think we are as well, for those of you who are working with me and my guides and angels, as you unhook your own kind of belief structures. One of the things I'm really fascinated by lately is death, and the reason for that is, according to Julia Sont and many others who have been guests on Paradigm Shifters and talking about death from a perspective of healing or of a perspective of doing research on the kind of commentaries you get from people on the other side or experiencing people going through the tunnel, the death passage, and so on. There's such a huge perspective these days on how humanity is awakening, and many beings on the other side are working with us on this side to help us wake up and know that individually we are highly fulfillable, meaning you and I get to be really big beings if we want to. We get to release all these incredible ties and stays and cocooning that we've had because of past life experiences. There are so many ways of seeing this, but I know many of you know that I've been involved in the Oneness Blessings routines, which is giving each other, those of us who have been initiated as blessing givers, giving each other Diksha or energy transmission through the top of our head. You can do it through your eyes. You can do it through your hands. You can do it in many, many different ways. But what happens then is it kind of unhooks the brain from the way it's been containing certain patterns. And many people, and I'm not one of these yet, maybe I will be soon, I don't know. Many people who, when they go to India, and some when they don't even bother going to India, become what they're calling awakened. And I'm not sure what that means, but I do know this, that many of us are awakening, even if we haven't been to India, or maybe we've been into India in our own minds as the epitome of the place where we get permission and protection to wake up, wake up, wake up, and know how amazing each one of us is as a being. Each one of us is so capable of transcending limitations on this planet. It's really exciting. My last paradigm shifter was Elias Lonsdale, and Elias Lonsdale's wife passed with cancer. She'd been a strong Sufi, Baha'i, or I think it was Baha'i, not Sufi. And she had been very, very strong and very alert in her spiritual path before she was taken with cancer. And her cancer went on for a long, long time. She and Elias were extremely close, twin souls, they called themselves. And he's a very conscious man who used a lot of astrological training and his own intuitive nature to understand levels and dimensions and so on. And he actually went through the death experience with his wife. And, of course, he returned and she didn't, although she returns through him and through channeled messages. They're not just messages, but she talks about the Christ and the Christing, and how she made connection with Jesus, as she said, as she went through. And then as she's gone through on the other side, she has learned and learned and learned from him. It reminds me of Glenda Green, who said, whose husband, Glenda Green is an artist, and her husband said, I had a dream that Jesus wants you to paint his portrait and take it to all kinds of places. And she said, well, that's too bad, because I only paint people who show up in my studio. Well, lo and behold, who showed up in her studio every day for 4 months was Jesus. So the story goes. And then when she painted the pictures and took the picture to various places to show it, many people received healing. And why is that? Is because, back to Radiance by Design, the radiance of her Jesus picture had included or been imbued with the radiance of the Christ himself, you know. And that's a pretty exciting story. And a lot of you have feelings pro and con Jesus and so on. So we're not going to get too far into that tonight. But I have a lot of theories about it. If you find that when you meet a deity of any kind, if you meet someone of a very, in quotes, a very high being, how do you figure out if it's real or not? Well, you feel it. And if it helps you release yourself, because evolution is 90, and healing are 95% of business of clearing old thoughts and feelings and beliefs and reactions, the karmic hoo-ha and one another's feelings and family ties and the fabric of whatever your social programming, and clear, and you find yourself being able to fly way beyond the limitations that have been presented to you and designed around you to create what we know as, in quote, security. Oh, he's just like his father. Oh, in our family, we do this. Oh, in our community, we all bow this way and walk that way and so on. Some of that could be a very protective containment. But people like David Icke, and most of you know who he is, he's the he was once a, I think, a news broadcaster and so on from England, and he began to say that the Queen is actually, behind her facade, is actually a reptile. And he really brought to us this whole incredible awareness that there's a, it's called the conspiracy theory, but that there is a controlled group, a controlling group of a few families and some really powerful characters who would really like to contain our species in some kind of social fabric. And in that social fabric, we are all contained in such a way that we're enslaved, and the idea of our sense of personal fulfillment is kind of numbed by that, isn't it? It's dulled. And somewhere in our brain, going back to the Diksha thing, which awakens us, somewhere in our brain, we're programmed to know that we can't go any farther than the way we are. This is what the human species is like. We're born and we die, and we're born and we die, and we're born and we die. And Ike's going, that's not true, that there's a whole bunch of beings. Some of them are, he calls them reptilians. And for those of you who listen to Jackie's show, we've learned a lot through the years that they're not, not all reptilians are bad. It's a good old bell curve. You get a whole bunch of folks or whatever they are over here, and you got some good ones, some bad ones, and a whole bunch of pulsating mediocre ones in the middle, or ones that don't challenge the edges, right? So anyway, he talks a lot about how the reptilians have run things on the planet, and their way of running things is to keep us contained. Now, apparently, he believes that whoever's in control, and I'm not going to try to parse that at this point, but whoever's in control would just assume we all kind of died off and they got to have all the spoils, which would be the resources and the moolah and so on. Well, you and I know that there's an awful lot of greed, and the 1% is running away with the moolah, and countries are falling and all that kind of stuff right now. But on the other hand, what's happening, there's a lot of people all over the planet, thank you, Internet, but there's a lot of people all over the planet. They're awakening and awakening and awakening. And it's kind of like fire, isn't it, that they awaken and they pass it on. It's like Tinkerbell, maybe, or it's, you awaken, and in your awakening process, just by the same token as we can be controlled by trying to be alike or staying in convention, that's a contagious process too. As you start to awaken, you radiate out into your aura, you radiate this, hey, I'm changing, I'm growing, I'm waking up, I'm waking up, I'm waking up. And the people around you pick up speed as well, and they start waking up and waking up. And the hundredth monkey becomes the millionth or billionth person. And that's what's going on out there, waking up past this containment. So my up-and-coming guest, I'm pretty excited about meeting him. His name is Peter Calhoun, and he used to be Episcopal minister, priest, I think it was called. And he said, oh, goody, you're on the air, but you'll just wait just a minute if you don't mind. Peter Calhoun is coming on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and I'm so excited to meet him because when he was a priest, he realized he suddenly was waking up, and he could see that there was this incredible kind of like a skin around, it's like a big cocoon around humanity, and it was keeping everybody held in and limited. Duh, it doesn't that sound like a lot of the rest of it? And so what he started to do, he started to get things like spontaneous combustion, he burst into flame, he learned how to control weather. So for example, if there was a drought in certain places, he's had witnesses as he changed that and created rainfall like they've never had before, and so on. It's very, very exciting what's going on out there. With Elias, when he was talking about the Christ, and he's talking about his wife Sarah, who's also known as Sienna, and she was saying that Jesus' biggest disappointment, his repeated time-release crucifixion, talk about Groundhog Day, over and over again, is because he came to show that you and I could consciously awaken, that each of us had the seeds of expansion. Remember, he said, anything I can do, you can do better. So what he was trying to teach us is, this is how you do it. I am the way, the truth, and the light. He didn't say you had to touch the hem of my garment all the time, although that would be a pretty good metaphor for it. He said, apparently, I am the way. Do it my way. Do it in the name of the Father. You too can unlock these amazing gifts. And Peter and Elias and many of the other people, Vladimir Turek, David Icke, who's after all the stuff, the conspiracy stuff that he's learned, he's reducing it to pray a lot, to raise your fields and frequency, move beyond, and you too can live outside of suppression. And I'm living outside of suppression tonight and having a blast talking to you. I hope you're going to call in. We already have a caller. Good evening. You're on the air. Or are you? Are you on the air or not? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Are you radiating?
I guess so, unless you're radiating so hard that you can't hear me. That was weird.
I can hear you now.
Yay. Well, this is Lisa. I haven't talked to you for at least a year now.
Well, where have you been? I've been going to call you and say, where have you been, Lisa?
Oh, I've been living life in the most interesting way. But I did have a question, and I'm hoping that maybe you can give me some insight on it.
Okay.
I recently broke up with a boyfriend about 2 months ago. It was very kind of abrupt. And even though I'm going through the process of healing through it, part of me is now opening up to the idea of someone new and a whole different type of relationship coming in. And I just guess I want to get a sense if you can, I don't know, see someone perfect for me coming through.
Well, you know, I have to tease you a little bit, Lisa, and say, you know, the last guy was perfect for you for a while.
Yeah. How about the one that's actually going to be perfect and stay? I'm ready for like a lifetime partner. I'm ready to do things differently.
Yeah, because you know something that happened with the last, there is somebody coming, but I just want to say that what happened with the last guy You know, we've been talking about awakening, awakening, and awakening. And there's something about the last guy and the frustrations that you had together that really awakened you in the throat area. And
Speaking up.
And what?
I feel like speaking up. I've never really felt like I was heard or my opinion was valued.
Yeah, so I just want to say we should all of us, okay, need to stop, and if we're parting from someone, look back and see what you gained. And I often say when we split with somebody, the stuffings come out. And when the stuffings come out, you get to see what you want to change in yourself as well, if you look at it carefully. And so because you've changed, you're ready to magnetize a different level of wholeness in a partner. And he's coming, but it might be like after you go, have you just changed jobs as well? Are you traveling or something? Because there's a big change coming in your location. And from there, it seems you turn in like a semicircle or something, and then there is your Prince Charming. And it'll last quite a long time.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for a real committed relationship. I'm in a totally different place. But when you talk about location and job searching, what do you sense about that? Like,
are you working right now?
Well, I work freelance and part-time, and that's going really well.
Okay.
But I'm looking for something more stable. I'm looking for stability in every area right now. So, actually looking for a stable job.
Well, here's the thing. It seems like you go forward in kind of like, and I don't know if I have a friend who always says when I do directions, it's like I'm standing on my head, so be patient. But it's like you go forward, and it looks like you go west, and then you cycle back down, and you go east. And it's because you're following jobs. It's not because you can't get a job. And then from there, you stay for quite a while. So you'll be ending up south and east of where you are, even though you'll head west first. And that fellow shows up partway along in this interesting semicircle. And then you look like you're going to be there. You're going to be ensconced in a job, and you're going to have a partner. And I think he works in something similar to yours, only he's got more of a business component than you do.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And guess what? He's kind of handsome.
You get a sense of his age, younger, older.
He's 92. No, I'm just teasing you. I think he's just about, how old are you, Lisa?
I'm 42.
Okay, so he's just a smidge older than you.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 years or something, something like that. He could be 45, 46, something of that ilk.
Interesting. Well, I'm open.
Yeah, he's really nice. Remember this, honey. Just keep clearing, clearing, and more clearing because you've been through a lot. And I notice you've got a cold as well, which is really helpful. It helps you release a lot of the old stuff.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind because you have to not only deal, for me, this particular breakup, because I'm very into trying to figure out what just happened, and I'm still maybe don't exactly know exactly what just happened, mm-hmm. but I realize that in the future, maybe it'll all just seem clearer, but I can't.
Well, did he break up with you all of a sudden?
Oh, yes. And he was very ambivalent about me for like 3 or 4 months. And then finally, one day, he just woke up and said he heard the voice of God tell him I'm not the one. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with that information? And so it's very abrupt, needless to say.
Was he a little bit younger than you?
No, he was older than me.
But he's more immature, right?
No, he was a therapist. He was a business person. He had a lot of his, like, financially, he was very well stable. But I think as far as being able to express his heart, he was not in the same place that I am.
No, I think he's immature. And if he's listening to this, I'll say, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but maturity is when he wakes up and accepts more of himself, because he had this really tight way of analyzing yes. what was the right thing. In a way, you were the one, because he's going to wake up to a whole bunch of himself as a result of splitting with you.
Oh, that's great, because I felt constantly criticized, constantly. And I'm like, knowing who I am, and I'm such a spiritually driven person, that I allowed him to have his own critical thinking on his side, but I didn't, like, it didn't become what I thought of myself. But it was this constant, like, when are you going to relax and just accept who I am so we can move forward? When are you going to get over whatever hump is going on with you?
But it's interesting, because basically, and this is for everybody at home, when we say, you're not the one, well, essentially, the fellow that you're with is the one at the time. And you're the one. You're the one, and he's the one, because there was a huge learning curve in the middle of this. And both of you, you have to realize something interesting about yourself. And and it's right in the gut, in the second chakra and the third chakra. You're going through a huge change right now. And with him, he has a little nugget inside of himself where he's trying to do everything right. And love doesn't work that way, you know. And love generates, you see. Love generates. Fear and critical nature doesn't usually generate unless it's trouble.
I'm so glad you're saying this, because I felt crazy. I'm like, am I making all of this up? Just all of the things that I know intuitively about this, are they just things that I'm thinking? Am I wrong?
No, you weren't except the thing that was wrong. If we want to pick on you, we'd say, Lisa, what you learned about yourself is to relax and open and just move on. You didn't need to take all that criticism, and you also had a huge part of yourself that was so unsure of who you were, and I don't think you'll ever do that again.
No.
If it starts, you'll just walk out the door. He might have another relationship where he does a similar thing, but then all of a sudden he's going to wake up, because he's intrinsically not a bad guy.
No. Do you think we'll ever, like, he'll ever acknowledge this and be able to say, Shanae, I just got to call you and tell you. I just realized all this stuff that I did and blah, blah, blah.
if he does, it'll be in about 2 years.
Yeah.
But he's a little bit sensitive about admitting stuff, so he may have trouble with that yet.
Yep.
Thank you for your call. It's nice to catch up with you.
Yeah, and thank you for your insight. Hopefully I'll let you know what happens work-wise, because I'm ready for something.
Just keep going and keep your sights really powerful.
Yep, my goal. All right. Thank you.
All right. So let's all do a meditation. I like to have a meditation together, and the reason for that is we get a coherent energy pattern out there and all the listeners. We'll keep this one short since we've already been talking on the air, and let's see, which one will we do? Let's do the sounding one, yes, because I've been reading about the sound current. How many of you know about that? If we're going to make changes in ourselves, we want to release all the cocooning of old reactions, beliefs, as I said before, convention, the way we've got the fabric from the family and the lineage and so on. And I've been reading up about the sound current, which is the sound of, oh. So I thought it'd be really nice tonight just to do the sounding of our chakras. And then maybe we'll whip into we'll do the sacred healing, the little healing center that we do. Ready? The galactic healing center. So let's make sounds in each of the chakras. Make the sound the color of the chakra. So we're going to go in order of the colors of the rainbow, Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Most of you will know already which chakra is which. So let's get to the base of your spine, base animal instincts. I think it's very creative, too. And if we want to expand out of this cocooning business, this being held into place by huge control, We want to really redden up the base of your spine. And the sound matches the relationship to the earth. Guttural. Deep breath. And make the sound, the red sound. You can get your tailbone vibrating. Where else is that vibrating in your body? Now we're going to move into the belly area, which is orange. That's the chakra that houses your karma. Everybody else's influence, sexuality, your mom, you're born in your mother's second chakra, really all through her entire body, but in her second chakra. So you take on her lineage, don't you, and some of her thoughts, feelings, and beliefs as well. And the sound will be, ooh, and it will be orange. Ready? Make that sound, if you've got any kind of gastrointestinal stuff going on. Then we go to the solar plexus, your personal power center, and the sound is, oh, and it's bright yellow like the sun, solar sun. Oh. Interesting, because I get these funny dark patches that go around when I do that. And a pressure in the head. What happens with you? Now let's go into the green chakra. That's your chest area. Bright, clear, green. Now remember, your lungs hold karmic grief. And anything to do with love, anything to do with lost love, if any of you ever had grief, anything to do with issues of love, courage, inspiration, flights of fancy, loss, grief, depression, and the sound is, ah, but let's sing it because it's harder to do that with a real sustained feeling. Green. Some of you out there getting to be really like green light. Move into your throat chakra. Remember, your neck is what is the programming center for consciousness of self. And the neck, the throat chakra, is where you synthesize wisdom out of everywhere you've ever been and everywhere you're going. And the sound is, as in everything and everywhere, and it's blue. Most people say it's eggshell blue, but I've often seen it in different shades of blue. As long as it's pure and clear, it's okay. Now open your throat like a bowl. not like a tube. Because remember, this is a little bottleneck. This is the area where all of these responses to all kinds of situations whirl up through your neck so that you can wring out the wisdom from everything you've ever done. And that wisdom flows in the vibrations of your words. Talk about sound current, hey? Interesting. Do you notice where else in your body buzzing starts? It's kind of interesting. It's really relevant, isn't it? I'm not telling you where it's happening in me. You can phone in and let me know where it's happening in you. Now we're going into the third eye. Remember that the throat chakra is the first of the wisdom chakras. It's where you're really bringing wisdom out of what went on with your red, orange, yellow, green chakras as they spiral on up to create the new you. And you go into your third eye, that's in behind the brows. And the sound is, and a deep indigo. That to me is like a navy purple. What color is it to you? Very good. Now, sometimes the third eye, when it's waking up and your sensitivity is on the increase, it feels like you're getting a sinus headache, but you're not really. Your third eye is awakening. Where else did you feel it in your body? Top of your head is violet. Brings in God, guides, angels, higher power, higher self, anything other than the self. It's E, and it's violet. E. And now wrap yourself in that violet light. Wrap yourself in the light. Good job. Wrap yourself in the light. Now let's go into the Galactic Healing Center. Let's call in our wonderful healing team. And let's call in their wonderful healing team and their wonderful healing team. And have them circle this amazing healing table in our Galactic Healing Center. Good. And the first person to flop out on the table is you or me. And ask for some help. What is it you want to work on in yourself? Good work. Can you just feel the energy move through your body? Isn't it magical? Don't let yourself be limited. And feel the presence of the same work through you. And you might also want to ask them if they have any advice for you or anything you need to learn. Good. Now wrap that in light and move it over to the left and have our team, our magical team, replicate themselves and their own teams as well, replicate themselves around a fresh healing table. And then who are we going to bring in this time? Okay, let's bring in this wonderful young woman who's got MS. And she's going down very fast. Now, here's something interesting, moms and daughters and dads and daughters and sons and so on. Anyway, this woman, this mother, came in to help her. And here's the deal, is that as soon as the mom came in to help her, the young woman began to collapse. Isn't that interesting? So the idea is, it appears that, or we're going to ask the healing team if they'll help with this. As this woman is carried in and put on the table, we're going to ask them to clear her. And if it's her mother's energy, you know, sometimes our protective energy can actually make our children weaker. You know, if that's the case, we want to see that. And we want to have them pull it away. Good. And then we want to see what they'd like to do with her. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot with her brain. And that appears to be with her, the ganglion at the base of her spine and at the base of the brain stem. And they're also doing a lot with her spine, spinal fluids, and all the way through the spine. And we're asking if there's anything yet. So they're also doing this with the mother. They're having the mother be wrapped in light, and they're pulling her back. And they're asking her to feel the love and the courage that's coming to her as she stands back and takes her energy back from her daughter, that she serves her daughter well by just being there, but by unhooking her own energy field. Excellent. And release that. Good. Now wrap that in light. And wrap that in light and move it over to the left. And let's replicate our teams again around a fresh healing table. This next person coming in is a person who has quite a bit of mental health difficulty going on. He's got a lot of what appears to be narcissism, a kind of a paranoia. Mm-hmm. Not sure. And they're showing, it's funny because they're showing three different people here who have some kind of mental health situation. And they're showing that in each case, each person is very difficult to deal with. But in each case, each person has an okay basic brain, but they've taken on some of these attributes, which are paranoia and, as I said, narcissism, or kind of like a demanding thing, can't really hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And two of them have awful body pain. So I'm asking for help with the mental health aspect of things. And you know what they seem to be doing is like a great diksha. They're putting their hands on the heads of these beings. And they're putting their hands on the basal ganglion. And, you know, there's a number of healing members here. Yeah. And they're all doing quite a bit of work pulling brain patterning around and also patterning in the ganglion. Interesting. Yeah, and you can really feel it in your own legs, this move. Good. Thank you for that. Now they're infusing each of them with transformative light so they can keep healing, even though we're going to move them over to the side. Who did you have in your healing room? Wrap that in light, and now we'll do the political one. I feel really frustrated by the amount of violence that's been going on the planet. I don't know who to bring in, whether we bring in Syria or we bring in the vehement. It's pretty hard to know who, hey? So let's bring in some terrorist activity. Let's put it all up on the healing table. We don't even have to know what it is. Just plots and plans to undo the lives of whatever groups are going on. Let's bring in a bunch of people that are involved in that. And let's call in to the top of your head, coming down this amazing golden light. Mama Bhagavan always talk about how there are these downloads of golden light leading us to the golden era. And I've often seen, my own guides have shown me a lot, that we have incredible downloads, universal downloads these days. And if you and I can ingest them and integrate them, we can awaken more and more and become much more vital about radiating health and healing to one another, to ourselves first. That was me first. Otherwise, I can't maintain my growth as I share with you. We want to all maintain our growth. Remember, each of us can be the one. So you want to be the one so you can maintain your growth and share it out there and light all the other candles in your neighborhood, right? So we're bringing in beautiful high-frequency energies. Bring them down through the top of your head, out your heart, and then out your arms and your hands. Good work. And now let's send it up through the feet and the legs and the perineums of many of these beings who are being caught in the brainwashing or the vehemence of these activities, the violent activities. Yeah. It can be from anywhere in the world. That's right. And we're just going to infuse as many of them as possible with high-frequency energy. High-frequency energy. Yeah. And let those energies dance through these beings. It's so amazing how you can feel. Yeah. And see them feel more compassion, being back in the present or coming into the present for the first time and feeling the gift of life and how each of us has a place that we're going with our whole life journey. That's it. Compassion, love, healing, release of rage and anger. And now wrap that in light. Good work. And send it over to the side. And then I'd like you to close off your galactic healing center. Jump into we didn't do this before, but let's jump into a star tetrahedron. And spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And remember this, we spin to release the way our radiance is stuck or hooked with other people. We want to separate it from other people so we can raise our fields and frequency consciously. So you spin and I'll spin. We meet, we're both much higher, aren't we? Good. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm saying, you're listening to Radiance by Design. Now call in and talk to me about what you're doing. Lisa already started the ball rolling. Now it's your turn, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Love to have you call in. It's springtime here. What's it like where you are? You know, I was writing about this in a blog. I was thinking about Jesus. You know, a lot of people, you know, Zeitgeist has been saying there is no Jesus, or there's a number of beings that have been born with a virgin birth, and a lot of it's perpetrated. And we just listened to a blurb on how David Icke has talked about how a lot of the controls of our species are perpetrated, and Elias talking about Theana and how she's talking to Christ, who says that basically, I think it's that one, or maybe it's another one, where many Jesuses or many kinds of individuals actually brought forward the Christing process being the process of evoking in yourself an awakening. And that's what you're trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. Wake up to being this kind of amazing, powerful being. So on Zeitgeist, they're saying There is no Jesus, basically, and I know a lot of young people who say that. There is no Jesus. There never was. It's a hoax that's perpetrated. I know some older people that say that as well, partly because of this. And I've been thinking about it a lot. And if you see things or experience things, you also feel the incredible energy that comes from certain, beings, you know. And I've had a lot of experiences where if I've got a photograph of just a normal person, I can look at it and tell you how that person is today or yesterday, or, you know, whether they're feeling better, whether they're happy or sad, because there's a lot about that, that there's something in your stuff. You know what psychometry is, eh? If you give somebody a bracelet of yours, they can tell you all about you by holding on to the bracelet. So there's something of yours in a photograph of you, isn't there? There's a radiance of you, and there's an ability to interact with life, even though that's only a photograph, right? So jumping around here, I'm going, you know, with the whole Jesus discussion, I almost think it's funny because I feel like, well, what if, now this is me being playful, what if there was no Jesus? What if it was only on the fourth, fifth dimension that there was a Jesus? What if he does a bleed through sometimes? What if he represents a really amazing kind of energy, and that energy is transformative and healing for us? But maybe he was never a man. Maybe he didn't live in, maybe he wasn't born in a manger, or maybe many who were born in a manger had that awakening prospect in them that had the ability to be an awakening instrument. I really love that. Sure, looking forward to talking to Peter Calhoun about his attitude to transcendence and life and being magical and being unlimited on Tuesday night. I think it's going to be really fun. I have to look down and see what his book is called. Hang on. It's called Life Without Limits. Discover the secrets to your personal empowerment and a life of ecstatic joy. Because as he also, I believe, calls it, I don't know if he calls it the Christing process, but he talks about it as if it is. It's like he calls it a joyous and ecstatic union with all life. And I really feel like that's what a lot of it is about, is it's not looking up to deities in a way. It's like Rachel Van Dessel was talking about how she works with deity dance. She teaches dancing, and she teaches all about Tibetan psychology and so on. But she also said that in deity dancing, you dance in a costume of a particular god or goddess in the Tibetan way. And you dance in order to imbue yourself or take on the essence of that being. And I kind of think about Jesus that way. I go, okay, the essence of Jesus was to be love, to be absolutely transcendent, to be able to defy the limitations of life as they're taught to us in order to transcend and move to a much higher level. I think it's kind of fascinating. Maybe we are waking up in such a way that we don't have to be clogged by or held in place by all the beliefs and tenets that have been just drilled into us. Like, man, if you don't do this, you're not a good person. One of the things I was learning about the Tibetan system of dying, it's not like I'm talking around, but I'm trying to talk about accessing parts of ourselves that will take us out of the limiting forces of our social conventions. So I was reading about the Powa, which is the Tibetan system of dying that I want to go to a course on it, and I'm going to see if I can go this summer. But I was reading about that, and they're saying if you've been a really terrible person and you've done tons of what we call sinning, I think they call it the five deadly sins or something. I was Catholic, and we had the seven deadly sins, all of which I could name in a heartbeat. Anyway, they say if you do the Powa, which is a system of energy and breathing and meditation and so on, it's a very tightly planned system, And it's better given, like, when you have somebody who can transmit that transcendent energy to you, it can really catalyze an energy quickening in you, and you can release yourself from the the past reactions, the judgments, the identities you have with being a bad person, if that's what you were. Anything that's been done, you can clear all of that in order to enter life after without any of the attachments to the emotional pools of effect that you have left behind you. It's very exciting. It all sounds to me like it's all related, meaning we don't have to be stuck in the conventions. We don't have to do, all of life is about clearing as far as I can figure out, right? Because when we get stuck in conventions, it's because we believe in the kind of belief structures that have placed themselves around us. We believe in separation. I'm the one, you're not. Or he's the one, I'm not. You know, that whole thing. Instead, we all have this incredible ability within us to rise above and move beyond all of these limitations, to become purified, to accept the, transcendent nature of all life, to take some, to do these experiences and pass it on. I'm really excited about all that. So tune in to Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And also, we're podcasting the next day now, and that's pretty exciting. A lot of you have been giving me feedback on downloading those podcasts and really enjoying the various characters we're meeting. So on Tuesday night, if you tune in to Paradigm Shifters here on wonderful BBS Radio, you'll talk with Peter Calhoun, whose latest book is called Life Without Limits. Remember, this guy claims to be bursting into flames sometimes. He's doing all kinds of transcendent things. Oh, the other thing that's really interesting, he talks about past lives and karmic, how we have so much. So does Elias's wife, Diana, and Elias himself. They talk a lot about all the karma that we cart around with us. You know, it's part of that great cocoon that you and I carry. And we carry it around, and we take on one another's and everything until it's kind of crazy out there, isn't it? But he talks about it in such a way as getting you to realize that we can learn to neutralize our karma. And I guess it's get off the wheel, but I think that's an old-fashioned phrase. It's more like getting unhooked from all these incredible karmic details and ways of identifying ourselves and ways of having knee-jerk reactions to some people and finding out who scourged us and what and betrayed us here and how can we betray them again there and so on and so forth. Karmic stuff is pretty awkward. It makes very little sense on this planet. So he's a guy who's going to take us on a wild ride of how to release false beliefs, how to work with all the elements, how to work with the many dimensions. Oh my, it's very exciting. And I hope some of you have got feedback on Vladimir Turek or Elias or any of these amazing people I've been talking to lately. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, check out my website. I have a very fast little video right at the beginning now. It's a new one. Love you to see it. Let me know what you think. We're standing in front of the blossoms in this beautiful part of the world here in the Northwest. So once again, this is Veronica Entwistle. Leave me a message on the Ask Veronica button on veronicaentwistle.com, and I would love to hear from you. If you've got ideas for guests of my show or feedback on this show, or if you'd like a session with me and my guides and angels, it's veronicaentwistle.com. Take a deep breath and send blessings out to one another, because we're all in this together. And remember this, you're the one. And guess what? I'm the one. Many blessings. Good night, and thank you for listening.